The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Wake up, it's night, night again, night follows day, day follows night. It's me, Frank Cotolo, the man's name adorns the title of the show. We're going to chronicle. We're going to chronicle now, and then. I am the godfather of internet talk radio. Make no mistake about it. Did you make a mistake about it? Seriously, not seriously. Let's move on now, because the vegetable man has much to say. He's the bard of broadcasting, too. And these multiple personalities must get together and bring you the finest. Ah, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. Of course it's the Hallelujah Trail. Of course. We have the pain spray. And we have your ticket to the dark web. You're going to want to listen to this. You're going to want to take heed. You're going to want to be careful. Let's go. Wake up, it's night! Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. It's me, the one, the only. I am the only now. There was once, during my lifetime, two Frank Cotolos walking the earth. One of them sat more than walked. I'm sure he walked a lot more before I was around. And both of these people, believe it or not, and you better believe it, because this is true. I kid you not. Both of those Frank Cotolos, two individuals, separate beings, though related, had the same birth date. Huh? Huh? Now, how often, what do you think the odds are of that thing? Actually, they're better than you probably think. There's something magic. It's not magic. Yeah. Two Frank Cotolos walking the face of the earth, sitting, walking, doing whatever it is Frank Cotolos do. Or did, you know, because there was a disparity in age. Walking, in other words, living, let's just say living, because that entail, living entails everything, the walking, the breathing, the, yeah, right, everything. Two named Frank Cotolo walking the face of the earth, living, breathing. That's pretty something. That's pretty something. It is. That's an amazing thing. To have the same birth date, obviously not. They're not twins, or they'd have the same birthday. And besides, if they were twins, who would name two twins the same name? Did you ever think of that? I wonder if that's ever happened. No less that there are two people with the same name who are related, are not twins, and walked the face of the earth at the same time. Now, you know, if you get a name that's more common, Frank Cotolo is not a common name, but, you know, let's say an Anglo-Saxon name, Joseph Smith. And he was the guy, he was the Mormon guy, wasn't he? Joseph Smith, when Joseph Smith walked here, there were probably a lot of Joseph Smiths today. I'll bet you, if you go out or go to wherever you have to go to find names of people existing and living right now, you'd probably find Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith, lots of Joseph Smiths. The easier names, the common names, the names that came through the Anglo-Saxon, they came from the, you know, the Anglo-Saxon names, the white names, they came from the what, the, from the Bering Straits, and the Strait Berings, right? There's, so Wilsons, a lot of Wilsons, Ed Wilsons, probably a lot of Edward Wilsons. In fact, I knew multiple people that had the same name and lived, obviously, the same time. So perhaps it's not that weird, but here I am right now, the only spelled exactly the way I spell it, the C, the O, the T, the O, the L, the O, Frank Cotolo. I'm the only one on the face of God's green earth, God's brown earth, God's melting ice, glacier earth, God's smoggy air earth, whatever. Just me. I am the lone Cotolo. Okay? And that's my friend, the cricket. Why do you call him Jiminy? That would be dumb. That would be like so ordinary. There's a cricket in my house. I call him Jiminy. You know, after Jiminy Cricket. When you wish upon a star. Wake up, it's night. Hey, there's an awful lot of things going on. Always. It's not, 'cause you know why? Because philosophically, and not even philosophically, realistically, physiology, scientifically, everything happens at once. So right now, everything's going on. Everyone you know that is alive is doing something. And the things that are going on all at once. So, I did want to say this, and I will. We've got, you know what I did the other day? No, Frank, what'd you do? Okay. Well, that's why people have sidekicks. That's why talk show hosts have sidekicks, so that they can just put in those little things. No, what'd you do? So they can ask a question, and it's not, you know, it's just a question that has, that someone could, you know, say, as opposed to saying it yourself. Which, but, you know, why would I ask you? Because it's you and me here! Okay? And, I'm always amazed at back problems. I don't have back problems. Knock on wood. I don't have, and have not had a bad back. And I've been in some mighty crashes, you know, and things. I've been in some, you know, big time things. I mean things, injuries. But I never injured my back, thank goodness. Knock on wood. Who taught me that? My mother, I guess. Knock on wood. I wonder where that originated. That's like good, thank you. It's like thank you, fates. That's what it was. You know, because you'd say, you say something like that. I never had a back problem. And you're happy for it. So you knock on wood. I don't know. I leaned over. That's all I did. No, actually, I did more. I picked up something, weighty, heavy, and it, you know, I got this crick in my neck. It's a crick? Is it a crick? Is it a kink in your neck? A chink? Maybe it's a chink in your neck. Chink in the armor, kink in the armor. I used to think it was kink in the armor. And it can get pretty kinky in the armor. Oh, there's chink in the armor. And I had that, you know, that thing in the back. What I'm going to tell you is this, there are times and there are people, and that means everybody, whether you have the same name and you're walking in the earth with someone else with the same name, whether you're Joseph Smith or, you know, the Cotolo, whatever can happen. You don't have to do anything strenuous to crick your back, kink your back, or just get yourself, I don't even know what it's called. What do? I pulled my back out. You know, pulled my back out. They say I hurt my back, you know, because the slightest move, and it doesn't have to do with age either, because it can happen when you were 10. I remember I had one time I was very younger than this and I just moved the wrong way. It's not like I was, you know, all the times I played baseball, all the times I, you know, active sports, all the times I played, you know, tackle football, no bad back or anything like that. And then one day you go to the bathroom, you unzip, if you're a guy, well, a girl too, if you unzip something that, you gotta unzip something to go to the bathroom. And you know, and you do that, and then the movement of your arm to the thing, and for some reason or other, you get that movement, just like get something to the muscle in the back, and then I don't know, it's amazing. But I did have that little problem by picking up something. But you know, and I've learned a long time ago how that there's a correct way to pick things up, especially if they're heavy. Even though, because that's what I mean, there's so many things I have picked up, but I knew how to pick them up. You know, I'm using my legs. Don't use your back when you pick things up. You didn't expect to get all these great tips for your body in daily things you do by listening here at Cthulhu Chronicles. You know, we're just going to go to the dark web, and that was it. We are going to go to the dark web. But, I mean, you could do anything and throw your back out. I'll just say throw your back out. And it's really not even that bad. Some people, you know, they're completely inoperative. It's not the word, because they're not completely inoperative. They can still talk. They can still use their hands and fingers. They're incapacitated to a great extent because they throw their back out. So this wasn't that. But I'm always amazed, even when I do things right. That's the big lesson, though, of all of this. Even when you do things correctly, as you know how, the best possible way you can, something can go wrong. Right? I wish I had some of this pain spray. I kept this ad. I don't know what show that was, that one there. Premier's pain spray. I gotta get some of this. Four payments of $2.99. Gotta find out what this company is called here and get this. It just says pain spray. You just spray it on your pain. It's wonderful. And by the way, speaking of wonderful, you are welcome for the wonderful radio. My name is Frank Cthulhu. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. And what I wanted to tell you is that we are going to have many guests coming up over the autumn and winter, because we're past summer now. Even though yesterday, believe it or not, here in the Northeast, yesterday it was 91 degrees in October. That's alarming and annoying, and it's hot. But we're back into fall. We've fallen into fall. It's cooling off, so we're going to be able to do stuff down here. As long as the equipment continues to work, so that, you know, when we're ready to plug in and go on through this amazing, magical system of zeros and ones and cyberspace, then, you know, we'll do it. Or if we're not attacked by dark web soldiers. But we're going to have guests. And even though I haven't called some of them yet, they're going to be on. And we're going to have Mary Parr's going to be on again, too. Don't forget, because we really want to assist Mary Parr and anyone who is trying and moving into a new thing like broadcasting and stuff. We're here to help. And so Mary Parr was great last week. Thank you very much, Mary. She's at YouTube. Mary Parr, go subscribe. Since last week, picked up some subscribers. She's got 68, probably more, since I last looked. So, Mary Parr. A lot of fun. There's videos there. You can see them, just like you can go to Frank Cthulhu or Cthulhu Chronicles on YouTube, too. Ours are old. We don't make any more, but, you know, it's there. So, you could do that. Well, Jason Emmett from the Coconut Monkey Rocket promised to be here. Going to be here. Got to see how he's doing with that new album. I call it an album. You could still call it an album. Someone said to me the other day, well, it's not an album anymore because you associate albums with the discs, you know, the big 33 and a third big discs and needles and record players of story, you know, turntables and stuff. But you can call anything an album because you got a photo album, you got a file album. Right, so if you come out with ten files, and they're all together on one particular CD, it's an album, right? So the Coconut Monkey Rocket new album will be coming out, and we're going to help go along with that. Also, Martini Bomb. I never talked to those guys, Eric and Ryan. I'll get their number from Jason. See, I don't even know if they haven't committed. Nobody commits anyway. I mean, if they want to be on, they can be on. So we're going to get them on too. Also, I have a show coming up about Netflix, which you might be interested in listening to because it's good. And even though I haven't done it, even though I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, this is the way it happens. Mary Parr knows what I'm talking about. But I am a difficult historian, so that's exactly what happens. Now, here's what's going to happen with this. You know where to get the books, right? Yeah, you do. You do. That's Amazon, Lulu. I was going to say Braid. Why did I say Braid? Because it's got a weird name. It always had a weird name. Bruiser. No. What is it? What is it? Blurb. Wow. It is fascinating, the things that get, my mind gets more and more filled with, I guess I'm filling up my mind. Eventually, it's going to be like, sorry, no room. I'm going to read something that's going to go, no more room. Room is done. What would that be? My disc is full. Full disc. Yeah. The dark web. In 2015, in August of 2015, I did a show. This very time, you know, I mean, time span, and talked about the dark web. Got really into it. And, there's more to get into because it's still out there. And now there are so many, I don't know what to call them. I guess operations, corporations, a lot of Asians, a lot of Asians out there that are on the internet that gather information, organization, shuns. And they're finding all these ways to block, bad people who are, randomware and, underwear or whatever, you know, whatever goes in there and knocks you out. But the dark web doesn't necessarily have, you know, a scouts out to knock down people and people's webs and sites and websites and take over your computer or hold you at ransom. They don't do that. They do other things, as you're going to hear about. Now, I've heard that it's called the dark web, the dark net. There's various names for it. Can't get to it. We'll tell you how that. The point is this. I'm going to tell you some new stuff, and then we're going to go back to what I talked about in 2015, because it's still pertinent today, and it's important. I know, because I, like you, would be just so curious to get on the dark web and see what was going on there. But you've got to be careful, I guess. You got to be afraid. You got to be careful. And of course, when you go there, you know, you're going to this deep, dark place. It's kind of like the other day I saw this movie. I've seen it before, but I saw this movie called White Noise. I think there was a White Noise too. Whiter Noise? Whiter Noise. There should be three. White Noise, Whiter Noise, and Whitest Noise. With Michael Keaton. It's about the people going into the other plane, the next plane, the next dimension, after death, they go somewhere. And they try to get back through television. Wait, I know that sounds like a comedy, but it's not. They use electronic means to try to communicate with people on the side where they were living. Even if they weren't living with someone of the same exact name. That's a callback. So it reminds me of, it's a deep, dark place that you would go to. It's a strange setup to connect with that atmosphere or that plane or dimension where the dead roam one way or another. I know some kind of purgatory or whatever. I don't know. You know, it's fiction. So, but anyway, it reminded me of the dark web, because that's pretty much what you do. You enter a very strange, you can't just enter. You can't like open a Firefox browser and hit write in, type in the dark net. You can't even type in some kind of weird URL that, you know, only you know, only the people who go to the dark web know. You can't do that. You have to have a special browser and everything. And you get there. And then, you know, what do you want to do there? That's the thing, you know. The curiosity to go there and, like, window shop, or should we say screen shop, or whatever we would call it on the web, is very high. You got to be high. No, you don't have to be high. What I'm saying is the level of curiosity is very high. You want to go see what they got. What are they doing? But you know, I'm telling you what they have, and you could, you know, you'd probably be disgusted at some of the stuff they have. Not that everything illegal is disgusting. Everything illegal is illegal, but not all disgusting. But some disgusting things are illegal. It's an equation. All right. It's like A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, but that doesn't work like that. It's A equals B. A and B don't equal C, so A and B are A and B. Maybe that's not it either, but, you go to the, dark web and, where to buy things, and I don't even know how that works because, you know, you're really at risk of giving people the information on a credit card, so I don't know. I don't know how it works. I didn't go there, but yes. And you don't want to go there too, because like I said, some of the stuff you buy, if not all the stuff, is illegal. They, look, it's not a dark web for nothing. It's not like you go, I want to go to the dark web because I have a sale on jeans. You know, no, it don't work like that. There's plenty of other places. You know, really, you don't have to go into the dark web. It's dark and it's beneath the web and it's underground in a sense, you know, a metaphor underground, to get stuff you can't get anywhere else. Well, you can, but illegally. Illegal stuff. And a lot of stuff you might be tempted to have, but you shouldn't have. And you don't know, it's not like you can get your money back. Like if you were to get some, this big vape thing. Oh, I want to tell you that, because that reminded me of it. Dr. Gary Popoli will be on this show in, a week, next week, 2 weeks, whatever. So keep going to GatoloChronicles.blogspot.com to find out when he's going to be on. He's going to do a show on vaping. And this is a topic right now that he knows about stuff. And the doctor will be here to talk about vaping. He called me and said, I want to do a show on vaping. I said, that's fabulous to do that, because people should know, these people, our people, the Chronicles people. Other people have shows called Chronicles, you know. But they're not Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man, his name is joined the title of the show. So anyway, we'll do that. But anyway, this dark web thing, I'm going to queue up, as I do ordinarily, to find that. But what did I want to do first? I wanted to let you know that there are things and ways that you could learn more about the dark web. If only to learn more about the dark web and why you shouldn't go there or what have you, but at least be aware that this is happening. And nobody got rid of it, because like I said, this, you're going to hear me talking from 2015. That's 4 years ago, maybe almost 5 years ago. What was that? That squeak. Oh, it was my headphones. And, I don't know. Let's see. It's still there. And I don't know how it's changed is what I'm saying. But that's what I was going to look up. Wikipedia must have something there. We got music from the dark web. How about that? There's that Money Man, dark web. I'm looking at various things here. What? Apparat. Goodbye. Dark net. Oh, Netflix. Dark, it's not bad. Dark web drug dealer busted. See to a beard contest, whatever that means. These are all the things you can read about. I'm just looking through YouTube now. I don't want to play this stuff. You can play it yourself. If you look up the dark web or just dark web, look at this dark web official music. Must be a movie. So there must be movies. There must have been something about it. Various, what is this? TJX6, Dark Web, The Swipe Lessons. Listen and download. Well, you can watch out for downloading. Billy Sayo, Dark Deep Web. I'd say on a Deep Web, Dark Web, there's a Dark Web DJ. So I guess they do that stuff there too. Background music from, let's alone just for instance, if this don't even put a, if they don't put a, I see, I knew it. I muted it just in time. Video will play after the ad. We're going to give you an ad. You're going to get an ad. How old are you? They don't want to know this. How old are you? Where do you live? What's going on? You like it? Did you not like it? Do you want to hear it again? No. Let's go to this, hear what it said. Okay. No, I don't want skip. I don't want a trial of premium. This is called Background Music Dark Web. Background Music, the Dark Web. Now, I don't even know why this would be here. Do they have back? If you go there, they play this music? Is that as loud as it gets? The dark web? So this is dark web music. Could use some lyrics. Dark, dark, dark web, web. The dark, dark web, web. The dark, deep web, web. Anyway, just making up stupid lyrics. Now, Animal, who does this? Someone just, and it's on YouTube. So, it's like you could talk about the dark web. If you wish to use any of my music, oh, so somebody did a music, I'm sorry, I played it, you're not gonna get any, no, yeah. I'll let you know. Who are you? The dark web COE? Oh, maybe that is the name of the, oh. It's background music by the dark web. So that had nothing to do with it. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry for you too, Mr. Dark Web. There's a name of some guy who does dark web. Music made by artificial intelligence? Dark web DJ. See, I don't know, giant clawed dark web. What does that mean? I don't even know what some of this stuff means. I gotta try this. I gotta hit this one thing and see what this is. What is this? Giant claw. Dark web. What does this mean? Oh, this is weird. Oh, you're not hearing it? Oh, you hear it in the background there somewhere. Oh, that's deep. Deep. That's creepy. That's creepy. This is creepy. Give me an idea. Oh, gosh. I'm scared now. This is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adjoins the title of the show. Do you get the idea? Yeah. Oh. Oh. How about that? Ooh. I could turn this off because I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning humming that and or have terrible dreams. Ay, ay, ay. The dark web. So I'm gonna hook up with... You can't use that phrase anymore, can you? I can't. I'm going to hook up with, where am I going? The dark, darkest web, deep web, dark web. And then I'll come back after I talk about whatever it is I talk about. I got to go to 38 to 22 of the show from, when was I? Hey, look, exactly. That is magic. That's magic. I'm having all sorts of trouble with my mouse. I look for 38 minutes, 22 seconds. I hit it right on the exact place. Okay, so I'm going to put this on. You're going to hear me talking about it. You're going to know more about it. We're going to learn more about it, and we'll do it until that's done, and then I'll come right back. It's all live. I'm playing it live, so it's going to be on live. But it's going to be me. From August 2015, Y2K plus 15, here I am talking about the dark web. Lots of stuff you need to know about right here. There is another net. It's not the Buster net. This is what's fascinating. Wheels within wheels within wheels. There's another net. It's called the Dark Net. And they're not mincing on words when they say Dark Net. How come I do Google? You look for Google on, how is that possible? I look for Google. Oh, because I looked for Google. You know, if you look for Google on YouTube, it gives you a whole bunch of things about Google. That's not what I want. I had to go to my www place. Just go to Google, the website itself. You don't have to put www's anymore. I told you that a long time ago. Don't be putting www's. That's a tell. That's a tell. If you mention your website to somebody, and you say first www, that's a tell that you're not very savvy about your interweb. because nobody says that anymore. Because every browser, for God's sakes, Buster, you just put in the name of the thing. Right? But I did this, and I don't think a lot of people do this. We're going to learn a little bit about it here. There is a place. What is this? Kind of weird. There's about 219 million results if you put in the darknet. Let's look for simple information. I guess the best place to go is Wikipedia. We'll start there and we'll get sources from elsewhere. Let me tell you about this. I have to read it with these. It's tough to read this off the screen because of my eyes. Of course. What else would it be? Because of my elbows? Of course. There is an internet that you don't get to visit by going to the internet. That's another internet. Now remember, internet means networks. Internetwork. It's a series of networks from server to server, from ice cap to ice cap, blah, blah, blah. There's a place, you know how if you have a game, you gamers out there, called gamers now, you gamers out there know that there are levels to video games. You get yourself your high speed car theft, no Grand Theft Auto. That's how I got it. See, I didn't know the name right off the bat, so I went to you go to your Grand Theft Auto, you know. That there's ways of getting into levels of the game that are not right out there. Let's look at it that way. So there are different levels. We could also look at this like, let's look at it like a book or a movie or a play that is about a couple of people, let's say, a couple of people. We just said it. And yet, the people represent something else. There's an entire different level. But it's being presented to you. It's being presented to you simply as a man and a woman in their relationship. But it really means, I don't know, Adam and Eve, or it means another couple. Or it means a man in general versus woman. Okay, battle of sexes or whatever. That let's look at it that way. It's a level. You don't see it. How do you get to it? Well, in a play or a movie or a book, you get to it by thinking about it, thinking about the theme, and then putting together the actions that go on there. Okay, so there's an internet inside of the internet. And it's not the happy times come to the circus internet. It's not the circus time funny cartoon network. The cartoon net. No, it's the dark net. Wikipedia reads this way. I can actually take this. You know what I can do? I can take this off. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Take the microphone off and go real close to this so I see it. A dark net. A dark net or the dark net. You could use it as one word. Dark net. Instead of internet. Or dark. The dark web is also called dark web. Two words. It's an overlay network that can only be accessed if you have specific software configurations or actually authorization. Okay? And normally, you can't get to this thing by using the standard communication protocols or the ports of calls as we do when we get to the internet. So the servers are entirely different. They're not entirely different. I don't mean that, and I don't know that. I mean, they're not accessible. There's two typical, this is Wikipedia, then we'll go deeper into it. Two typical darknet types are friend-to-friend networks, and that's also called peer-to-peer. Remember peer-to-peer? Remember when we used to have, before there was Skype, there, I forgot what it was called. The protocols, I forgot the names of those programs. We used to send those files over. It was a peer-to-peer. So in other words, you would go from one person and the other person would have that software and you'd send things over there, things, stuff, files, what have you. Two typical, okay, there's friend-to-friend networks, and that's used for sharing. That's peer-to-peer connection. That's sharing. Of course, all this is sharing. You know, I'm just saying that there is another place, okay? And the other type is anonymity networks. Anonymity networks. You go on in and I guess, I don't even know if we'll find, maybe we'll find out if they could trace where you're coming from, because every computer has an address. I don't know. But the anonymity networks work and are, it says here, there are, as Tor Via. I don't know what that means. Tor Via. See, it's going to start getting technical. And you're going, why do I need to know this? You need to know this. I'll tell you why you need to know this. Because the thing is in there and it's down there and there, you can get in, you might find yourself, I don't know why you need to know this. It's a good topic for this particular show. Maybe I should be on the dark net. Maybe I should do a dark net. Remember Superman had the opposite universe? There was a Superman universe, in Superman comics, there was an opposite, I forgot the name of the universe, but there was another universe where everything was the opposite of what it was here. So, well, in that case, it was Earth. And there was Superman, and then there was this other Superman, Mr. Mixopolix. I don't know, that's what I used to call him, Mr. Mixopolix. Anyone remember that at all? Write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. Fcatolo at Excite, too, remember, I'm there now, also. The reciprocal term for an encrypted darknet is called a clearnet. If it's encrypted. See, you can't just go there. You've got to have special software, too. See? I don't know what kind of software we're talking about. Maybe we'll find out here. The surface web. Oh, it's called a clear net or a surface web. These are search engine indexable content. Indexable content? Hold on a second, friends. You got me here. This may be, I'm sorry. This may be one of those words from the Gates Dictionary. The Gates Jobs Dictionary. And what are you using here? Remember this. Oh, indexable. 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 I don't have to look that up. I look at a word and completely say it. It's the wrong syllable. Indexable. Search engine indexable content. So it's certain stuff. You're not going to go to a dark net, the dark web, the dark web. You're not going to go there for something that is ease that you can get on your internet, on your regular web, the web everyone goes to do things, see things. You're not going to go there for that. It's the dark web, the stuff underneath the fingernails of the internet. Let's look at the terminology. Now, I mean, so take this off again. You don't know what I'm talking about. This happened in the, listen to this. This goes way back. I'm learning this as you're learning it. We're learning it together. And it's more, and you don't have to read Wikipedia or anything else because I have a whole bunch of websites here to look at it. So you can just listen. And you can look it up later on your Bing or your Google or your Yahoo or your Excite. Go to Excite. Yeah, you can get Excite. Get your email over there. They got gigs of room over there. Yeah, okay, originally coined in the 1970s, it designated networks which were isolated from ARPANET. ARPANET is the system that evolved into the internet. So we're actually going back further now than we did a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the internet coming about. Before there was Windows and people just had modems and we just shared. We didn't have, pictures and wasn't even a lot of HTML. I don't think it was any HTML because we didn't have Windows. It was pre-Windows. How did you get through? We got through another way. We just got through with the modem on the phone line. So that was the ARPANET that became the internet, okay? Darknets were able to receive data from the original ARPANET. but they had addresses which did not appear in the network lists. Okay, and they wouldn't answer to pings or other inquiries. Ping, you know, a lot of you people know what a ping is used to do, to find out if you're connecting to any particular server. Ping it. They go, ping it. And then you go to your, basic, I don't even know what that's called, your basic, where you write in your, well, that sounds stupid now, right? You write in your, you know, you go to the place where you write in the HTTP, anyway, you ping it. Anyway, you find out that ping, not bing, but you find out if you are connected. But, so the ARPANET, even when they started the internet, and this is, I'm learning this too. When they started the internet, they also had secret places. Even then, when there were only a certain amount of people, I guess they were trying to protect a lot of the stuff that they had going for them. Right? Yes, that is coffee. Hot as death. No, black as heart, death as heart, hot as death, sweet as. Okay, so there were places there. The term granted public access following publication. In 2002, here's a guy named Peter Biddle, Paul England, and Marcus Pinado, and Brian Willman. These guys belonged to, they worked for Microsoft. They said the presence of the darknet was the primary hindrance to the development of DRM technologies and inevitably to copyright infringement. Okay, so they were hiding stuff and they were taking things that they knew they'd be in trouble and shoving them into the darknet. See? Okay, so when we talk about the darknet, I mean, it's called the darknet because there's things in there that are avoiding the attention of legal properties and things maybe you shouldn't share, because remember what happened when sharing was translated in the commercial world to piracy. When that happened, okay, so these guys were way ahead of it. And Mike says, we're way ahead before we went. We gotta have these places to go. We have to have these little tunnels. So they had the darknet and the future of content distribution. So this is how the darknet came about. To keep freedom. You know what this is like? This is an underground. This is like the French underground in World War II. The darknet was originally for that. And by dark, they didn't necessarily mean negative content. They didn't mean bad content. They didn't mean pornographic or horrible illegal content or anything. They meant stuff that, well, some of it was considered illegal. They just had to find out how they were going to make it illegal. So they meant that we're going to shove anything in here people can question. We're going to just shove it all here in the darknet, and not everybody can get to it. And if everybody can't get to it, then the people investigating to get to it can't get to it. I understand that. There's a book in 2005 called Darknet, Hollywood's War Against the Digital Generation, describes the darknet's reach encompassing the sharing networks. The darknet would use it would use the term dark as a term to describe a range of underground and emergent subcultures. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. And let's write that down, everyone. Write this down, as Dr. Fablianek would say. Write this down quick so you will not forget it. This is the darknet we're talking about now. It is, forget about copyright infringement and things like that. I got a book. I got a movie. You forget about that. Small potatoes. These small potatoes. That's what Lee Strasberg said in Godfather 2. These small potatoes. And Pantangeles, the dead man. These small potatoes. Puppet. I like that phrase, don't you? Small potatoes. What? You know, why are big potatoes? If they say small potatoes are just, you know, nothing, you throw it away, then what are big potatoes? And that's the top. He's a big, you never hear somebody say that, though. Oh, my God, Al Capone was a big potato. How Hitler was a big potato. They don't say big potato. They say small potatoes for little ones, but not big potatoes. The dark net, you ready? Emergent subcultures. You bet I'm writing this down. I'm learning as you learn here on Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man's name, but don't style the show. Emergent subcultures. What does this say here? Okay. Social, including. You ready? Including. I guess you can figure out any kind of emerging subculture. A subculture, which is, now we were talking about subcultures when we talked about, you know, the beatniks and, but this is not, this is a subculture. Doesn't necessarily mean you walk the streets and everyone knows you're in this, right? Social racists. Okay? So, okay, cam girls. Now, we know that there are cam girls and other forms of pornography on our web, on the light, what do you call the light web? On our surface web. No, surface web is what, I don't know, on the internet. But different cam girls, these guys, I don't know, I haven't been to the, I don't have the software and stuff, so I'm not telling you to get it or I've been there. I'm just saying that under these circumstances, it must be something more intense. And I'll tell you how else I know it's intense just from news reports. Because obviously we're going to get to where it says child pornography and other various things that are just, you know, outrageous. That there are places where people go and get these things in the dark net. So cam girls, I think that's rather innocuous compared. Self-harm. What is that called? Communities. Wow. So people who are into self-harm, I guess that's not good. But, you know, so this is worse than this. I mean, we're going deeper than the things that, than the websites where you could go and talk about almost anything. Yes, and even anything. And yet there's still another edge, another level. It's like Dante's Inferno. There's another level. If you think it's bad because there's fetish websites, you could join fetish clubs and image clubs where you do anything, and there's all sorts of pornography and horrible stuff that you would consider horrible stuff. I mean, you know, this is not the kind of stuff you would normally see and that should have age restrictions. This is worse. This is worse. This is dark. Including, okay, drug net markets. So there is, remember the black market was the term for things that you buy that are not, that could be commercial, whatever. Well, maybe they're not commercial. They're illegal things. That's what it is. Black market. The black market. Dark, black, all these things. And if you go watch, I mean, I'm sorry to use these terms. This is what they call all this stuff. If you go watch Spike Lee's movie, Malcolm X, you'll understand the connotation of using dark and black. It goes way beyond slavery and the world and the United States slavery and slavery in the world and slavery of African people. It goes way beyond that. The whole term black and dark that has to do in poetic terms. The opposite of light. You know, drug net markets, or who else did they say? Crypto anarchists. Well, whatever happened to, I don't know, I shouldn't let anarchists, crypto anarchists. It's not enough to have this incredibly free, wonderful thing that we have called the internet. We got people, crypto and anarchists. There's somebody who wants to screw it up. Well, I guess you don't even want to use the word hacker, because that's not necessarily a bad word. Crypto anarchist. This is a villain here. I'm writing these down. These are, you know, and transhumanists. Oh my goodness. We're going to look up some of the definition of some of these inhabitants and material related to these inhabitants in the darknet when we come back after our mid-show break here. My name is Frank Atola, man whose name adorns the title of the show. If you didn't know about the darknet, you're going to know, you're knowing about it now. I'm adding to it anything I might know, and I am telling you, it's there. You might not hear, I never heard a show on the internet, no less an original like this, the original internet talk show. I never heard a show talk about the dark net. And here I was without a topic altogether until last night. The dark net, I said, of course, we could do weeks on this. We're not going to do weeks on it, but we'll get back to it. We're not going to completely do everything here. We're going to do some investigation. Not that we're going to spend a lot of time, when the show's not on, working and doing stuff. We're not going to do that. Unless some big company comes along, like, Barr and Goodrich, and that's not even a company. I just made that one up. Procter and Gamble. Procter and Gamble comes along and says, hey, listen here, Cotolo Chronicles. Yeah, and you're Frank Cotolo, man's name, but don't you title the show? I said, yes. Here's $100,000. Procter Gamble would like you to do some research and get some people and quotes and go to Skype and talk to people about the darknet and do an entire series on your show. Okay, great. I'll do it. In the meantime, in between time, that ain't happening. A bunch of stuff is going to be happening here. Some of it's real, some of it's not real. Some of it's funny, and some of it's real, but, you figure it out. My name is Frank Cotolo, man's name who joins the title of the show. Don't go away, but if you have to walk away and get yourself some beverage so you can replenish your precious bodily fluid, you need to do that, because they do that. You hear that? They do. Do what you got to do. We'll be right back.
Brought to you by Wacko's Department Stores. Yes, friends, shopping at Wacko's is easy because we ain't got shelves. That's right. We just pile everything on the floor and you pick out what you want. No need to read signs and walk up and down aisles. Just plow through the merchandise and take what you want. Bring a shovel, take a whole bunch of stuff at once, And remember, we're not insured, so you shop at your own risk. Remember our slogan, whatever you want in a stacko is at Wacko.
With video games, I always check the rating and content descriptors on the package. But there are times when I'd like more detail about what's in the game. That's why I love these new rating summaries. They provide an in-depth description of a game's content to help me decide if it's okay for my kids to play. Rating summaries are free and available on my smartphone or at home online.
For more information about video game ratings and rating summaries, go to ESRB.org.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like music? You like interviews with musicians, witches, wrestlers, furries, mediums, and everything in between? Do I have a show for you? Wednesdays at 9:30 Eastern on SRN1, I, Skylar Hall, bring you Hotspot Radio, along with my partner in crime, Bolo Cute Fox. 7 years strong, Hotspot Radio is still bringing you music from every conceivable genre, using unique themes and talking to interesting people from all walks of life. Come join the fun. HotspotRadio.net. Wednesdays at 9:30 Eastern.
Dragon! We interrupt this program for no reason. Had there been a reason, you'd have been asked to go along with it and perhaps even take off your pants. But there is no reason, so now we return you to the program.
In a world where reading is dying out, A new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Bucky's foolproof horse racing method. Yes, Bucky's back after serving 20 hard ones at the state pen, baby, and this time his method of picking winners at the track is guaranteed. You just send old Bucky $50, he's going to send you 10 big winners at any kind of track of your choice. Guaranteed, yes indeed, because the horses he's picked have already won in past races. So, hey, if you want the names of guaranteed winners, send for Bucky's foolproof horse racing method.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more. At Forgettabout Restaurant, Forgettabout It. Hey, the gang of Forgettabout It has found the ultimate silencer and non-bloody assassinations. Hey, you never have to worry about loud sounds, gunfire, people falling over you, bloody people on top of you. Because of the boys at Forgettabout It have discovered a new way, a silent way of killing. For their assassination victims, they serve them Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatballs. And the victims, they die silently in the bathroom. You got somebody you want out of your hair? Hey, forget about it. Get them a gift certificate and forget about it. But make sure you specify they try Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatball or Ebola macaroni. Ebola spaghetti. No gluten-free.
Watch Wilhelmina reach for Farina.
H.O. Farina cream. Farina smooth and delicious. That's why we love it so. H.O.
Like Wilhelmina, everyone is spooning for Farina. H.O. Farina, so smooth, hot, and delicious in just 2 minutes. Enriched with vitamin B1 and iron. 100% digestible, too. Digestible as milk. It's the creamy heart of the wheat. That's why.
You're never too young.
And you're never too old.
To enjoy delicious, nutritious H.O. Cream Farina.
Like Wilhelmina, you'll love Farina.
H.O. Farina Cream Farina. Smooth and delicious. That's why you love it so. H.O.
Mmm.
want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Yeah, there are still cars, automobiles, trucks, where you have to remember to physically put it on. You mean your seatbelt. There are many models now where you get in and as soon as your car's turned on, you know, comes from some track and it goes across your body. But I stand as a witness and I testify. I would not be here right now were it not for a seatbelt. So there. There's that, and there's this. My name is Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, not the program, because there's nothing programmed about this. The show is Catolo Chronicles. That is a sentence. I am Catolo, and I chronicle. Catolo Chronicles. It's present tense, because there is no past tense, there's no future tense. And that's why when you listen to this show on other stations, or if you listen to it because you have recorded it, or you've listened to it because you've recorded it, or you've downloaded it, it's live or lifelike. It still sounds like it's right there. I'm right here with you now. That's why we don't say like, and we can actually do this to the minute. I know how to do that. I could customize this. I could tell you right now it's 10 minutes after the hour. And then whenever the show is played at any particular time, it is 10 minutes after the hour. I just don't tell you what hour. So the station can play it at 9 in the morning, and some stations do. It's 10 minutes after the hour. My name is Frank Catolo, and I'm here with you. See, I left that little bit because they would plug in on HTL Radio, on Sunshine Blubber Radio. It's me, Frank Catolo. It's 10:11, and it's time to get back to our show's topic. Lifelike. That's stupid, isn't it? Lifelike? What does that mean? Lifelike? Did you make up a word that says lifelike? Speaking of internet, we're talking about the dark net, the undercurrent website, a series of websites, this weird place where there are very strange things that are not acceptable or accessible on your internet. Something, an entire universe you don't even know maybe existed. Let me see a show of hands, anybody? Or a show of arms, or put your arms up so you show your hands? How many people out there knew there was a dark net? I don't see anybody. Of course I see anybody. And I didn't go to Skype, but we're not going to take calls. We don't have time to do this. We're going to have to just continue and talk about this. The darknet, as I said before, I'm learning a little bit more about this too. I realize as I know more now than I thought I did. But at least we got a little bit more detail so that you will learn more about it. Not that you want to go there. I'm not doing this because I don't think these types of people, you never know. Look, everybody has a dark, deep, dark side. Maybe not everybody does. I don't know. How can I say that? A lot of people have a deep, dark side, or you have some, part of you. There's things that you have an affinity for certain things that aren't necessarily not just commercial. They're not necessarily accepted. They're off. They're weird. They're considered in the mainstream, common, socially accepted thing. But still, I don't think any of these people. I don't think that anyone in my audience is a social racist. Okay, there are cam girls, cam guys. There's all sorts of, yeah. I don't know if there are any self-harm people. I don't even know the precise. I think I know. I don't even want to know. Drugnet markets? I don't think so. I don't think there are any drugateers. Drugateers? Is that what they call them, drugateers? Crypto anarchists. Are there crypto anarchists? If there's a crypto anarchist there, you probably have a fake email. Write to me. Tell me about it. You could be like a source. I won't give up your name or the email that you send to me. fcatolo@yahoo.com. fcatolo@excite.com. @FrankCatolo. Twitter and Frank. And Facebook/FrankCatolo. You know, every show you see now anywhere, they show and they also have the little icons for all those places. And I'm not even on all those places, but on these places, well before a lot of people were on these places. So, you know, I don't have an Instagram because I don't shove Instagram pictures on there. I don't spend time doing that. I don't have that. I don't have a Pinterest. But I'm all over the place too, and I've always been all over the place. But get to me there in those places. Direct message me or message me secretly, not secretly, because the website knows. Whatever you want to do, you want to tell me something, and it's not necessarily a wonderful thing, you could be a source. I guarantee you, as a journalist in my life, I will not reveal my source. We were talking about some of these, but I'm interested in this one. Transhumanists? What is it? I got to find out what is it. And I'm going to hit this little link here that tells me transhumanism. Now, this is one of the areas covered in the darknet. Transhumanism. Okay, here we go. An international cultural and intellectual movement. Wow. That what? With an eventual goal of fundamentally transforming the human condition by developing and making widely available technologies to greatly enhance human intellect, physical, and psychological capacities. That's heavy. I'm telling you, that definition goes way out there. And it doesn't sound that bad, other than the fact that anyone dedicated, I'm suspicious of anybody dedicated to anything. Except maybe blood, you know, sister, brother, mother, sister, son, and you know, dedication in terms of that, of anything else. But, you know, I'm a little suspicious. So people who join this transhumanism movement, let me see a little bit more about it. Here's what they think. Okay, time to actually go on the road with my microphone. It says here, doesn't say anything here. I'm saying it because I'm reading it. Transhumanist thinkers study the potential benefits and dangers of emerging technologies that could, maybe not, but could overcome fundamental human limitations as well as the ethics of developing and using such technologies. The most common thesis, here we go, put forward, is that human beings, you ready for this one? Human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves into beings with such greatly expanded abilities as to merit the label post-human. A human being may be able to, what are they talking about? Are they talking about placing, are they talking about putting some electronic things, e-things, inside your brain and your heart and stuff that make post-human, that makes you continue to live as you don't live? I don't know. But for some reason or another, there's not a lot of this stuff going on the regular net. You got to go into the dark net. The contemporary meaning of the term transhumanism was foreshadowed by one of the first professors of futurology. Futurology! Now, I know they're not talking about Alvin Toffler, Future Shock. But I will go on now. I know they're not talking about that. FM 2030. This is the guy's name. FM-2030. Is he supposed to be a post-human, or is this supposed to be like some kind of deity of the transhumanism movement? It taught, I don't even know how to give it a sex if it's transhuman. FM 2030 taught new concepts of the human. Oh my goodness, he taught that at the New School. I remember the New School a long time ago, and obviously a long time ago. there was this school that opened in New York, and it was supposed to be well ahead of its time, and you had to be a super brainiac, not just a brainiac, mind you, a super brainiac, to go to this school and deal with these concepts. There are, you know, like the super brainiacs who come on to our show when there are Skylar and Dr. Woldar and Dr. Popoli, super brainiacs. The New School, very simple name. This guy taught at the New School. He began to identify people who adopt technologies, lifestyles, and world views transitional to post-humanity as transhuman, he called them. The hypothesis would lay the intellectual groundwork for this British philosopher guy named Max Moore. Max Moore. Hey, that almost sounds like a redundant name, because you do it to the max is like the most you can do it. His name is Max Moore. His name should be Max Most. You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write down this name, Max Most. That's a great name for a character. Max Most. Remember Max Headroom? Who remembers Max Headroom? That ridiculous little cartoon that was on... Where was that, Max Headroom? Let's see if we can find him. For those of you who don't know Max Headroom, I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but... he's got to be on YouTube, doesn't he? We could play a thing. Yeah, that's YouTube. Okay, thank you very much. Let's see if we could play. Wow, how come it went to Wow? I wanted to go to YouTube. Why did it go to Wow? What is Wow? Man, I'm telling you, there's always something weird. I'll do YouTube.com. Maybe I should do that. YouTube.com. I gotta go to research. What? Where does it go to? Yeah, it goes to YouTube. And it went to some weird place. Okay, let's put in, and those of you who don't remember this character may enjoy, I'm trying to remember the year. This is sometime around, here's Max Headroom, around the, he was a computer generated head, and he had, there were episodes. Max, here's episode one of Max Headroom. I could play the whole thing, but I'm going to show you. There's an ad first. We don't want
is everything
ad.
Okay?
No, I don't want to. I'm going to watch an ad all the time, right? Skip ad. Let's see here. Max Headroom. Following program is considered to be educational and informational by a chosen few people. None are politicians, it says. You will walk. This is something you've got to look. You can hear him. But you really have to see it. It's a visual Max Headroom. Okay, what is this? Where is it? Why did they show?
This is the first show. We might as well dive headfirst into what has to be one of the weirdest occurrences in the history of television. Today, we're tackling the 1987 Max Headroom incident.
There you go, Max Headroom.
And because anyone watching this must be a glutton for punishment, you'll get to sit through my analysis and theory on arguably the most famous occurrence of signal hijacking in the history of American television.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is
now,
doing.
Now, for the uninitiated, here's the story.
Here's the story.
On the evening of Sunday, November 22nd, 1987, at 9:14 p.m. Central Standard Time, the sports segment of Chicago's WGN Evening News was hijacked by a mysterious and... let's face it, terrifying figure in a rubber Max Headroom mask.
So somebody had...
Now, for the benefit of our younger and or more sheltered viewers, Max Headroom was a popular cyberspace-dwelling science fiction character during the mid-80s.
Okay, that's what we want. We don't want this guy who hacked the TV show. We want a little bit of Max Headroom himself. Four strangers... No, these are mysteries. So where is just Max Headroom on his own? Creepy Pasta Archives, Mac. No, it's another incident. We don't want. Look at this. This is all about this incident. Where is just pirating incident? Where is Max Headroom? Period. Okay, so we know it's 1987. Here, Max Headroom show. Okay, he had a show. Here, listen to this guy if you've never heard him. Here's a little piece of him. Max Headroom compiled. Okay, this is about some pieces.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever produced in the history of television.
Yeah, that.
There's more. because you are going to see it as well.
Yes, it.
Yes, it. Yes. Namely, the Maxedrome string story.
Maxedrome.
And afterwards, that is, directly following, I want to talk to you about something even bigger. Namely, Maxedrome. So!
I forgot that guy. He's funny.
Relax and enjoy my film.
This is way ahead of its time, Max Edgerton, man. 1987. See, this is how he talks. Even when he's in German, he's weird.
Und der Oberbrockner mir eine Lappe.
Well, these rock things are all very well if you like them, but, you know, no ordinary people like you and, well, ordinary people like you oughtn't to be afraid to speak up for classical music.
I'm going to ask you four questions about the film you've just seen.
Four questions. They're not difficult, but being able to count to four helps.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ready?
Yeah.
Good.
Buster Hedrum.
During one of my early broadcasts in the film, I made a little joke about...
Okay, you've had enough of him, okay? You get the idea. Max Hedrum appears to be a transhumanist in a way. I wonder if he was developed based on FM 2030, who taught at the new school. Who's your professor? FM 2030? Oh, much better than FM 2020. Although he saw better. He had better vision. New concepts of human. That would be a new concept of human. Max Hedrum. The hypothesis would blah, 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 blah. Okay. Transhumanism is a futurist philosophy and an organization in California and intelligentsia that has since grown into a worldwide transhumanist movement. So this is still going on here. Influenced by seminal works of science fiction, the transhumanist vision of a transformed future humanity has attracted many smart supporters. I could actually talk like I'm transmuted. Transhumaned. Okay? The transhumanist vision of transformed future humanity has attracted many supporters and detractors from wide range. A transhumanism. I'm having fun doing this. Are you? Are you doing it along with me? Francis Fukuyama is a transhumanist, have been characterized by one critic, Francis Fukuyama, as among the world's most dangerous ideas. You see, okay, here's where it becomes darknet content. Francis Fukuyama calls it among the world's most dangerous ideas, transhumanism. Why? Okay. Let's see what she has to say. It could be a guy. To which Ronald Bailey countered that is rather the movement that epitomizes the most daring, courageous, imaginative, and idealistic aspirations of humanity. Ay, ay, ay. So this is, I see I'm learning about this. Fundamental ideas of transhumanism were first advanced in 1923. Oh my goodness. This is artificial intelligence, and we all know that. Okay, now we come into that whole area of, in Japan, when we talk about the robots, when we talk about the sex dolls, when we talk about the growth of transhumanism here. Listen to this. The first self-described transhumanists met formally in the 1980s at the University of California, Los Angeles, which became the main center of transhumanist thought. Here, FM 2030, from the New School, lectured on his third-way futurist ideology. Okay, I know I'm getting way, way ahead with just this one particular thing, but apparently this is such an underground topic. And as I said, as Francis Fukuyama said, this is a dangerous stuff. It's a matter of debate whether it is a branch of posthumanism. Oh my god, this is very heavy junk. Aims, while many transhumanist theorists and advocates seek to apply reason, science, and technology. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll come back to this. Or some, we'll do a whole show on this with somebody who might know about it. But anyway, transhumanism is one of the, there's no place for that real place for that, because it's a subculture and it's a bunch of people who are looking to do weird things with weird things, with their what? With the living. Trans. Well, trans means, you know, like you're transposing. So turning a human into something else. That's a little too weird. Well, for me, I don't know. I mean, I could read about it and look at it, and I would, as long as it's not someone trying to hurt someone else, if you want to be a transhumanist, be a transhumanist. We all know social racists. We all know the various, the neo-Nazis. I get all these people who do this kind of stuff, including the terrible, horrible, you know, stuff, sexual stuff, that is off the wall, illegal, and decidedly perverted. There's no place for that. Even on the internet itself, there are certain types of human behavior. You will not find websites that you could either buy into, be there, be a member of this place or not, or anything. There are still places you can't get, you know, certain perverted things. Now, you know, back in the 70s, and I know this is pre-Max Headroom, okay, when there was still movies and films, and when pornography was still an under-the-table act. No, it was still, you know, relatively illegal, or it wasn't in stores, and there was, you know, you could get it, but it had boundaries and legal borders attached to it. There came this rumor, and if you ever saw the movie, this is the only thing I could reference. It's a movie, Nicolas Cage movie. I think it's called 35mm, or is it 16mm? Maybe it's 8mm. I don't even know. You look it up. Nicolas Cage is in this movie that he's supposedly a detective. And some lady, well, anyway, I'm not going to tell you about the film. The film is about this particular rumor that went around once in the 70s when pornography started to actually be available in movies, movie theaters and stuff on the streets and stuff. You know, when in its heyday, and there was no video, it was still 35mm, 16mm. Okay, it was still done with film and cheaply, what have you. And they showed things that they wouldn't show in movies that at that time had to be rated. So that this is where the X rating came from. There was this thing called a snuff film. And this was supposed to be the ultimate pornography. As far as I know, and in this movie, 35 or 16 or 8mm, whatever, this Nicolas Cage movie, they fictionalized the fact that there actually was one. What is a snuff film? It was a film reportedly and allegedly, had never been one found, okay, where anyone would have, there would be one person that, or a lot of people, or one person would have sex with that person and then murder them. They would murder them on film. It was part of the film. Now, I don't think, well, and you know, you ask things like, you kidding me? Are this really snuff films? And back in the 70s, going, yeah, this rumor went around, this snuff film, it's a snuff. Did you hear about it? They're snuff films. And then people started looking for them, just as, I mean, novelties. Obviously, the rumor became so invigorating in terms of finding it to so many people and collectors and nut jobs and maybe transhumanists and social racists, I don't know, that they went, it became so obsessive. People became so obsessive, some people, to find them, that certain people made fake ones. So they made, and you know, who knew? And they would sell them. Okay? I got a snuff film. Now, of course, even if you sold one and it was fake, I would still be, I don't know, I have no idea about the laws, but this I know. Because somebody swore to me that they saw one, by my college, they said, I saw one. And this was a reputable source. I said, you saw one? No, there's no dark net. The dark net is the underground. In those days, the dark net are these places you go to buy these things that are illegal, to the places you go where you elude social acceptable behavior in those days. Okay, so someone said to me, and a very reputable someone, that they saw one. I mean, you didn't see one. There's no, it can't possibly be one. Because you gotta think about what you would charge. Forget about what you would charge for it. Forget everything, because there has never been one. And no guy who, or gal, or company that was going to do any kind of pornography would take it that far. That's nuts. I mean, that's murder. And if somebody wanted to see it, why would they, you know, they would pay like a tremendous amount so they could have this and watch the murder over and over and over again. Anyway, somebody thought this up, because there's never been one found, but there were certain, not companies, people, they sold it. They said, hey, I got some film here. We made one. Or they would say, I knew somebody who made one. And this person told me they saw it. And I said, so you're going to mean to tell me, you're going to mean to tell me you saw it. Now, from the beginning, I disbelieved, not that he saw it. I disbelieved that what he saw was actually sex that led to murder. Even then, 1970s, there were a zillion ways to make it look like you killed somebody when you made a movie. There were tons of ways to make it look like you slit someone's throat or stabbed them or shot them, because it's movies. And anybody who knew any kind of special effects and makeup people could do that. And so there were people doing fake ones and then passing them off to people who were gullible enough to think that there were actually on the market, there was a snuff film. As outrageous as it is under any circumstances, I guess, you know, you could equate it to this. Here's what I equate it to. And maybe this is dumb, but I say dumb things too, once in a while. And this, you could say, like, here, I always thought that The Who, the group, the rock group, The Who, took, you know, rock and roll music to a point that no one else took it as live. And what would that be? Well, that would be where, you know, you're playing and you play so loud, you play so hard, you play so fast, you play that you destroy the very things you play, the music, with your hands, and that's what they did. And I remember the one time I saw The Who do this live, and it was very disturbing. But that's it. That's as far as you could take the noise, and everything would be the destruction. So you start off with a, you know, rock song. They did the rock song and then went right to the end. Now, they did crack up their instruments and break things, and there was smoke and electric and stuff, but there were also some effects in there. But still, they did. They physically did it. I mean, there was no... It had to be the last song of the day, right? Well, the concert day or whatever. But you see what I'm saying? As I saw that, it was very disturbing. But you could equate that to, like, sex... And so it's like, you know, so these people are having sex and it's a physical thing, and then it becomes a physically violent thing. And sometimes, you know, there's fun. Okay, let's not get to that point. Do you know what I'm saying? So then someone thought, says, well, what if you take it all the way and you just have sex with the person and just go absolutely crazy? Then eventually it gets to where it hurts, which is a certain form of sex anyway, right? Painful, dominatrix type stuff. But you just go all the way. And then just like you're cracking up the instrument. So the very thing that, the very sexual object, the very object that creates the sex, it kills the sex. And it's like The Who, the very people who are playing the music go so far that there's nothing else to do but just destroy it. That in itself is an art form, and it was. The fact that it was disturbing made it ultimate. It's like, after that, what are you going to do? Who am I going to watch? Oh, that's it. That's it. There's nothing else. No matter how hard you know it. Forget about heavy metal, which came later. That was baloney. You know why it was baloney? Because they just did it at one level. They never went to the next level. I don't think they, was there ever a heavy metal group that destroyed the stuff that they played? I don't know, but that's what was brilliant about The Who, was that as they took it to the art form to the point where it's like, ah, forget it, just blow it all up, but goodbye, and they just leave, you can't do it anymore. So that was the idea behind the snuff film. To take sex, have the sex, make it violent, make it more violent, and then destroy the very thing. Well, anyway, I didn't believe for a second that this reputable person had seen it. And of course, it wasn't. And he could swear all he wanted that that's what he saw, but it wasn't what he saw. He did not see a snuff film because he wouldn't be able to, he would be connected to somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who did it. And that's murder, you know. And now granted, I knew people who knew people, and I knew people who, for all I knew, were murderers in certain situations in my life. Okay, but that's different. What's different? Why is it different? Well, because, you know, what I'm saying is it's possible. And you know, but you don't go, if you, there was a snuff film and you saw it, then somebody had to get it. Where'd they get it from? It's like drugs. If you go to get illegal drugs, then you're getting it from somebody who's selling it illegally. That person got it from someone who sold it illegally. I don't know how many levels there are to get to the source, but if you want, you could probably get to the source and cut out all the middlemen. Middlemen? Well, middleman would mean this, you know, someone in the middle of you and the source, but there's maybe many, many people to get to the source. Okay. So that was the thing. Now, stuff like snuff, that is not murder, and maybe that's what self-harm communities, maybe. Dare I right now? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now. My name is Frank Atoll, the man's name adorns the title of the show. We're talking about the dark net. There is a net out there, an internet out there that with, in case you're tuning in late, and if you are tuning in late, you're tuning in very late, because it's only another 20 minutes, Buster, and then it's time for Savino Veritas on most of these internet stations. You should get it. You know who you are out there and listening. We can look, you know, up a white supremacist. We can look up social racists. And all of those people have websites that are on the internet, but it really gets deep and dark. I mean, they take it to the limit in the dark net. And I'm sure there's graphics. I'm sure there's cams and stuff that is, I mean, you just really down and out and dirty. When I say dirty, I'm talking about. Now, did you ever see something or hear some, not hear, see something or experience something that made you feel dirty? And I'm not saying, you know, that you're, I'm not trying to be a prude here. I'm just saying that there are still things that I have seen, and I've gone on many a journey to find the things I want to see at least once in my life that are, ooh, when you see them, you go, ooh, and you feel horrible that you witness, as a witness, you feel horrible. I mean, dirty. Something inside you goes, that is like, you know, because that's a time when that happens, you are directly connected to whatever connects us all as human beings, and you feel something. Okay, I'm not being a goody two shoes here, or I'm not blowing sunshine up your jive. Okay, I'm telling you that there you see something and you suddenly become so connected to humanity. And you realize the degrading, pervertedness that a human could stoop that low, especially if just for pleasure, right? I'm not saying it's right to do it for business or anything, but just for pleasure. And you are witnessing that, whether you paid for it or not, that you feel horrible. It's like, oh my, it's like, you know, if you had to put words to it, you say, I'm so sorry I'm even a member of this human race. Oh my God, look what, and you know, there's many things you could see in when the Vietnam War was being reported on television. Television was very careful to show, not to show atrocities, but there were atrocities and there were people taking pictures of them and there were people in the presence of the atrocities. And of course, so many people come back from wars, those kind of wars or any other kind of violent, you know, they come back and they're like, they're just never the same. And I knew one or two people. And I guess I get that. That's part of, you know, post-traumatic, all that stuff. Okay. Because you just, it affects you at such a base level, an amoebic. Did I just make up a word? I think an amoeba. I mean, get every cell in your body. It just, A lot of that stuff goes on in the dark net. But the people who involve themselves in that, in the dark net, all that stuff, are enjoying it. To them, there's this, so it's very, it's not nice. I hate that word. It's not good going there. They say, don't go there. Let's see what is self-help. Now, for instance, I'm going to take a chance and look at this because there is a link to this. Where are you, subcultures? Self-harm communities. A community. Now, this is exactly what this says. We all know, or you don't know, or maybe you should know, that one of the signs of someone who is really, who may be ready for to commit suicide or what have you, is to harm themselves. And there are people who find some kind of pleasure in harming themselves. Self-harm is deliberate harm, self-injury, self-poisoning, defined as the intentional direct injury of body tissue, most often done without suicidal intentions. Oh, okay. See, this, it's a, okay, I didn't know this. Now I know this. There are people who want to do this, enjoy doing it, and this is entertainment for them, but they don't want to go all the way and kill themselves. Whew. Communities. People who got, can you imagine, I mean, this is unbelievable. Imagine people getting together and, wow, the older literature that predates Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, because of mental disorder, yeah, refers to self-mutilization, that's the term. The most common form of self-harm is skin cutting. Self-harm also covers a wide range of behaviors, including, but not limited to, here we go, burning and scratching and banging of hitting body parts, interfering with wound healing, which has a name in itself, hair pulling, and the ingestion of toxic substances or objects. Okay. Dark enough for you? The dark net. Out there, in this world, and boy, it's a big world, because the internet goes... And this is me again, Frank Atolo. Here in October of 2019. That's what we were talking about then. This is called Music from the Dark Web. See? And it's a Pop Goes the Weasel thing played on piano. See what happens to it. There it goes. Perfect. Dark web. See? See what happens when you get to the dark web? There you go. called the Music from the Dark Web. I would imagine these days, if you got to the dark web, or if you want to look into it, look into it, but don't play around with it. I knew a person. I'm going to reveal this right now. I met a person online who did something on the dark web, and I asked this person, who I think was a woman, if she would like to be on regular broadcasting. And no, I could not. They're very, even in disguise, because, nobody's accountable for a personality that they develop and on the web if it's not them. I mean, this is me. I'm, to me, Frank Toll, man. His name is Natasha. I believe it was she, did not want to do it. I have her email somewhere, and I don't even know if it's legitimate, because they have legitimate works, because they have their own email system and everything. I wanted to get this person on, but I couldn't, she couldn't, could have done something with her voice. Not that anyone was going to recognize it anyway. But that's how secluded and sequestered and private it is for these people who do this stuff and sell horrible things that you can't buy anywhere, and maybe you don't want anywhere, and a lot of things you can get into a lot of trouble. But the dark web, excuse me, the dark web does exist. So does this show. And by the way, I know back in 2015, I mentioned coming up after this show was Savino Veritas, but Savino Veritas is no longer on, not because it, for many reasons. I might be back someday. I'm get Tom on this show again. I'm going to do that. In the meantime, in between time, we'll have fun. We'll be here. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. So you got to go buy the books to Amazon. You got to see all these things you can get legally, and they're good for you. It's not like, I guess they sell blood too, don't they? I don't know. Forget it. Look, just forget it. Get it out of your mind, or you'll have nightmares from now until you're older. So my name is Frank Cotillo, the man whose name is Jones, the title of the show. You can find me on the net, 148.ca/Frank. That's my blog, where there's plenty of funny stuff going on there. And if you just Google me, God knows what you'll find at any given time, but you'll find nothing on the dark web. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. That's from one of the books you can buy at Amazon. Oh, boy. Next week, who knows? But it is fall, it's autumn, it's wonderful, and we should be around, all things being equal. Meantime, what do you think? Huh? I've nothing more to say.